Hi, welcome to Alone But Not Lonely, the site for the single person learning to become comfortable with living alone, not necessarily by choice, but due to circumstances, and perhaps a lack of viable selections. I am Selena, your host on this journey. Before we begin, please accept this as a disclaimer. I do not offer advice, I only offer suggestions. I offer suggestions so that the person listening can exercise his or her right to choose. What worked for me may not work for you, okay? So, now, having said that, let's begin our journey. Today's journey is named Acceptance, Part 2, the fifth and final step in the Grieving Process series. In the Grieving Process, Acceptance Part 1, I concluded the discussion relative to class assignments and death of a loved one. During this episode, I will finalize the discussion of acceptance as it relates to alcohol and drug addiction and relationships. As a reminder, I speak about the grieving process so that people young and old, male and female, will understand how some emotions that we experience, they're completely normal. It's important to understand that few individuals rarely experience the steps of the grieving process in order. In fact, many people, they vacillate between denial, anger, compromise, and depression many, many times prior to reaching acceptance. So, depending on what a person may be grieving and the intensity of the connection to the thing or person being grieved, there is not a set time period for how long it takes one to accept what may appear to be an unacceptable situation. So, here we are. Now, at the third scenario, grieving while actively engaging in alcoholism or drug addiction. While those on the outside looking in are usually aware of the addiction long before the individual who suffers, many remain in a state of denial about their disease for years. Then the person might become angry due to an inability to no longer drink like a quote-unquote normal person, or they might become angry at the inability to stop drinking once they've taken the first drink. The addict makes many compromises in an attempt to prove that he or she is not addicted to alcohol or drugs. Depression, it ebbs and flows with the addict, causing him to feel sorry for himself on one hand, or having a pity party may continue ad infinitum. Because the more he drinks or drugs to escape reality, the more depressed he becomes. The ability to arrive at acceptance with an alcoholic or addict after years of going from one stage of grief into another and back again and again and again, as if in a vicious cycle, it makes it very difficult for the alcoholic addict to arrive at the stage of acceptance. Sometimes, even when he does begin to accept that he might be an alcoholic and addict, the insidiousness of the disease may cause him to return to denial. However, once he does reach acceptance and is able to remain at this fifth stage of grief, only then will the real work begin, because another round of grief begins. And that's going to be the grieving of the withdrawal or the losing of a friend like alcohol or drugs. So he finds himself having to go through the same stages of grief all over again. Therefore, like many of us, the grieving process never really ends. We go through one thing, one situation, then another, and then another situation. That's why I keep saying that we grieve virtually everything. And as long as we're living, we'll probably be grieving something. Denial, anger, compromise, depression, and then acceptance. Well, now, let's conclude with relationships. The mythical young lady about whom I've been speaking believed that she and her guy were in an exclusive relationship. She's expressed denial about him cheating on her. Anger and rage she directed at herself rather than at the philanderer. Compromise, she was continually negotiating with herself whether to allow this cheater to return into her life, resulting in emotional confusion, which of course led to depression. And depression may manifest itself as uncontrollable crying, isolation, excessive sleeping, perhaps increased use of alcohol or other substances for relaxation purposes, resulting in her, it may result in her being disappointed and feeling sorry for herself. Also, may cause her to feel embarrassed about being duped by a guy who she thinks has made a fool of her. Okay? So, at some point, however, she does begin to arrive at acceptance. And perhaps it's because she decides to open up to her friends who willingly share their own experiences with her about guys who've lied to them. And then they explain to her how they were able to move on from disappointment within a relationship. Perhaps one of them shares a few words of wisdom. Someone may have told her that God removes from a person's life individuals who don't belong there. So just say next and keep it moving until the next one presents himself. If he doesn't work out, then trust that God, or trust in God, excuse me, and know that that person wasn't meant to occupy space in her life. Furthermore, she might want to trust that God will reveal the reason why that person was not the right one in the first place. So the wisdom of these words might resonate with our young lady. She doesn't understand why things have gone awry, but she keeps recalling those words that her friends shared with her. She continues doing this, playing that tape over and over about what her friends have said until she finally convinces herself that, hey, they just might be right. Trusting that later on, and she doesn't know when, where, or how, but perhaps God will reveal to her the why. Why that person was removed from her life. And as she continues to recite, like a mantra, the wisdom that she's been gifted from her friends, God removes from a person's life individuals who don't belong there. So just keep saying next until you find the one who does. So then, as she continues to say that, she begins to understand that it is because that guy was a cheater that he's been removed from her life. She begins to understand that she does deserve better. Who wants a cheater anyway? She deserves someone who only wants her. She realizes that she's not the type of person who shares her affection between two men. She doesn't cheat. And she remembers that exclusivity is really her thing. So, she comes to accept that this guy has been deleted from her life because he lacked the necessary integrity to be monogamous and to care only for her. So, having finally arrived at acceptance, she will hopefully be able to use these same affirmations to navigate through any other relationship mishaps. And that would include even platonic ones. So, denial, anger, compromise, depression, acceptance. Well, this is the end of the Grieving Process series, and I appreciate the time you spent listening to it. Hopefully, I've been able to provide a modicum of relief, peace, or understanding to your life about how the grieving process presents itself in most aspects of our lives. Throughout this series, you've heard me say it many times, we grieve virtually everything. People are things that we've lost. Individuals are things we're afraid of losing, or things we feel we might not have received, even when, rightly or wrongly, we believe we have a right to possess those things. So, remember, it is normal to experience denial, anger, compromise, and depression. However, it is not normal to experience those emotions for weeks, months, and years on end. Hopefully, like I've learned through my own experiences with grief, you'll be able to learn to embrace the grieving process and learn how maintaining an attitude of gratitude, it helps a person to be able to navigate gravitate more fluently through the stages of the grieving process. I know for me, gratitude has created this comfort level. And if you want to learn more about the rewards of living with an attitude of gratitude, please feel free to listen to my podcasts about gratitude. I have about 3 of them, I believe. So finally, after listening to how grief is experienced through the 4 totally different scenarios about which I've spoken, whenever you experience these stages of denial, anger, compromise, depression, and/or acceptance, you'll be able to identify which stage of grief you're experiencing. The gift of this knowledge should facilitate a feeling of normalcy within you. As a result of assessing what you're feeling, perhaps you'll be able to connect it to an event, however latent, however long ago it happened. You'll still be able to connect it to why you're feeling that particular emotion. So it's with prayerful intention that I hope you'll be able to reach the final stage of grief, acceptance, so that you'll know that all is well. It will all be okay. Again, thank you for both your time and for listening to this series about the grieving process. Until next time, this is Selena, your host for Alone But Not Lonely.